At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Click for more.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
As we watch the suburban garden gnome carefully without disturbing it, we notice that it moves like not at all. It's inanimate and utterly without brain function. But despite that, when a garden gnome hears about how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, it's clear to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. But on second thoughts, maybe don't watch garden gnomes too carefully. People might talk.
You are listening to Sean Harrison on Amp Life Talk Radio, a place for amputees and those dealing with limb loss. The views expressed on the show by the host, co-hosts, and guests are their own. Always seek medical advice from a licensed medical professional.
Welcome to another episode of Amp Life Talk Radio. Thanks everybody for tuning in. I appreciate the time that you give me to sit here and talk and chatter with you. I'd like to welcome everybody to the show, both those that already listen and those of you that are new. Welcome back to another episode. For those of you that don't know, Amp Life Talk Radio is a show about empowering amputees with knowledge and support to make a real difference, because no one should have to go through limb loss alone. Now, if you saw the preview of the show, you will know that we're talking about recovering after amputation. So I come up with some of these topics because of some of the things that I see on social media and some of the peer support sites that I pop into and look at what everybody's talking about to try and come up with some topics that I think everybody would get something from. So tonight, that's what we're going to be talking about. So sit back, get cozy, and let's get ready to start the show. Before we start, I want to apologize if you do hear my fan in the background, but my little studio room, my little box here, is not equipped to keep me nice and cool now that we've got these hot temperatures coming up here in Modesto, California. So if you hear a little buzzing sound, I apologize for that, but that's my lifeline right now until I get something figured out in the studio to keep me just a little bit cooler while I do these shows. So apologies there, people. Apologies there. So I want to let you know this is going to be a really good show. Hopefully you'll get something from it, and let's get started. According to the Amputee Coalition of America, there are six phases that describe the recovery process for a new amputee. While not everyone goes through the recovery process the same way, understanding these phases can help you to know that your feelings are normal and are a part of your healing process. After the amputation, as a new amputee, it is normal to experience a variety of emotions following your surgery. You may feel sad and even depressed. If you have suffered intense pain for a long time before your surgery, you may feel relief despite the loss of the limb. All of these emotions are normal. Regardless of the nature of your limb loss, feelings of depression will soon be replaced by the will to once again resume your active or normal life. Depression is not the same for everybody. Some people describe depression as a feeling of emptiness and despair. Others experience an overwhelming sense of hopelessness, or anger. Some people don't act out emotionally, but may feel apathetic or even restless. The pre- and post-amputation process can be a very difficult one for an amputee and their family. It is important that you learn about these issues so you both can face them. Tonight, let's talk about how to deal with the phases this show is going to be for families, friends, and caregivers to help them and yourself better understand how to support you and yourself along your journey. If you are struggling with the loss of a limb, you may benefit from this show tonight. Segment one of the show, we're going to be talking about what if the five stages of grief that you have been talked to about as an amputee, what if those are not right? What if those are all wrong? What if the five stages of grief are wrong? Some of you have been met by peer visitors and peer counselors, and they've come in and they've talked to you. Most people use the five stages of grief to do peer counseling with amputees. Well, let's cover some information. Among the general public, one of the most commonly known and accepted physiological concepts is the grief process and how to proceed through the stages. If you already are familiar with the stages of grief, you have probably read the book of a famous psychiatrist by the name of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, Dr. Ross, and you can thank her for that. Through her many books and her activism, she managed to change how the world thought about death. She helped soften some of the stigma that had previously been presented, making it a little bit more okay to talk about and get support for the loss. And you heard me right, death. The reason most people use her paradigm or her process is because most amputees talk about experiencing limb loss as if the loss of a loved one. So we're going to be using some of her information tonight, but what I'm going to be doing, instead of going through that grief process, I'm going to break it down in a different way, and we're going to get to that. So what you may not know, however, is that Dr. Ross didn't originally develop these stages to explain what people go through when they lose a loved one. Instead, she developed them to describe the process patients go through as they come to terms with a terminal illness. The stages: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance were only later applied to the grieving process of friends and family members who seem to undergo similar processes after the loss of their loved ones. I see a lot of talk on amputee peer sites about what amputees are experiencing emotionally. And I wanted to do this show tonight because I think you're going to find that studies now show that grievers don't progress through stages in an orderly fashion. And I'm always seeing people all over the place, mainly because people studying this book have gotten it all mistakenly. They have put this out there that, hey, this is the way you're going to grieve. These are the steps you're going to follow. And this is what's going to come next. Well, they were incorrect. They were wrong. There is no specific order in which people grieve. and that people will go through all the stages. There's no guarantee they'll do that. Dr. Ross notes that these stages are not linear, and some people may not experience any of them yet, and still others might only go through two stages rather than all five, or three stages, etc. We may skip all but one. We may race through them or drag our feet all the way to acceptance. We may even repeat some of these stages or add stages. In fact, the actual grief process looks a lot like a neat set of stages, and a lot more like when you're going through it, you don't have these neat, you know, oh, you're going to go through this and this and this. No, most people that experience an amputation, I think I saw this the other day on one of the sites I was on. A guy was trying to explain to a fellow amputee that your emotions are going to be like a roller coaster. And that's very true. They're going to be all over the place. The unfortunate side of our society is one that we have a firm belief in these five stages that many people wind up criticizing themselves for not doing it right, grieving right. There is no right way to grieve, especially when you're talking about limb loss, let alone the loss of a loved one. When people buy into the idea that there's only one healthy way to grieve, then it's easy for them to attack themselves when they naturally find out that they're doing it differently. This kind of self-criticism never helps the amputee or anyone. Well, tonight we're going to look at this in a different way. We're going to look at this in phases instead of stages. We're going to look at it in phases. And I've kind of broke this down in a different way, and we're going to go through it. And the first phase we're going to talk about is denial and isolation. The first reaction for most amputees is denial. This can be pre-op and post-op. In this phase, individuals believe the diagnosis is somehow mistaken, not me, and they cling on the false hope that this is not going to happen. Denial is the first thing most amputees experience. It's a coping mechanism to help us survive the loss. In this stage, the world becomes sometimes meaningless and overwhelming. Life makes no sense. We're kind of in a stage of shock and denial that we've lost our limb, that this has happened to us. Some amputees go numb. They don't even know how they feel. We wonder how we can go on, if we can even go on. Why should we go on? We try to find a way to simply go through each day. Denial and shock actually helps us cope and make survival possible. Denial helps us to pace our feelings and grief. There is a grace in denial. It is nature's way, basically, of letting us cope, not letting too much in, but just enough, just so we can handle it. As you accept the reality of the loss and start to ask yourself questions, you are unknowingly beginning the healing process. You are becoming stronger, and the denial is beginning to fade. But as you proceed, all the feelings you were denying begin to surface. Denial is a phase that can initially help us survive the loss. You might think life makes no sense. has no meaning and is just way too overwhelming. You don't want to think about the news as doctors come into your room and talk to you. It hasn't really hit you yet. But I think most people don't understand how denial works. As we said, denial is part of the healing process for you. It's your body's way of coping with the news, but breaking it down into segments so that you can better process that, not getting it all at once. It's very common at this point to wonder, how will your life go on in this different state that you find yourself in, missing a limb or limbs? You're still in a state of shock because the life you once knew, it has changed so drastically, and sometimes in an instant when you're a trauma patient. Diabetic patients tend to cope a little bit better, but still, denial is part of the process. Now, patients or amputees may also isolate themselves from anyone who does not agree with them during this time, tries to get them to see the truth or reality of the situation. They don't want to hear it. A lot of times they don't want to be around people. They don't want to see people. So denial and isolation is a big part of coming to grips with recovering from an amputation. I also put in this show tonight, I want to address the caregivers and or family members that have to deal with the amputee during this time. So during this phase, denial and isolation, reassuring the amputee about your commitment to be there to help them, to provide a comfortable environment while they are dealing with this pain and this loss, is probably the best thing you can do as a caregiver, family member, or spouse. Phase two, suffering and anger. When the amputee recognizes that denial cannot continue, they become frustrated, especially at approximating certain individuals. So let's say you are a trauma. Someone hit you and caused this. Your anger may be directed towards them. Your anger may be directed towards the surgeons or nurses. This is natural. This is part of the phases that we go through in this recovery process. Certain psychological responses of people undergoing this phase would be, why me? It's not fair. How can this happen to me? Who is to blame? Why would this happen? You find it incomprehensible of how something like this could happen to you. Anger. It is important to truly feel the anger, though. It's thought that even though you might seem like you are in an endless cycle of anger, it will end. It will dissipate. And the more you truly feel the anger, I mean getting really angry, crying angry, the more quickly it will leave you, the more quickly it will dissipate. You will start to heal. It is not healthy to suppress your feelings. That is the first thing I talk with amputees about when I am doing a peer visit. I want them to feel. I want them to cry. I want them to be angry. I want them to let it out. I tell all of them, it's going to hit you. You're going to want to cry. You're going to want to scream. Grab a pillow and let it out, man. And it's part of letting go. It's part of coming to grips. Remember, it is a natural response, and perhaps arguably a necessary one. It is necessary to do it. In our everyday life, we are normally told we have to control our anger towards situations where we're not happy or things are happening or towards others. When you experience a grief event, you might feel disconnected from reality sometimes, like it's surreal, that you have no grounding anymore. Your life has shattered and there is nothing solid to hold on to. Think of anger as a strength to bind you to reality. You might feel deserted or abandoned during the grieving event, during the amputation, after the amputation. When you come to, you are in your room. Typically, you're by yourself. That no one is there. You're all alone in this world. But you're not. And you know you're not. But at this point in time, the anger has got you. These are good times to feel that anger, to let it out. And express the anger to other people. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as the people who are helping you, the caregivers, the family members, your spouse, they need to understand, and hopefully they'll get from this show, that these are the phases that you're going to go through. Anger is a necessary stage of healing. It is necessary for the healing process. So be willing to feel free to let your anger out. Even though it may seem endless, it will end. Trust me, it will end. And the more you truly feel it, the more it will begin to leave you. And that's what you're going to need. You're going to need that anger to get up out of you. Well, if you keep suppressing and pushing it down, there's no way for it to come out. It has nowhere to go. It'll stay there. There are many other emotions under anger, and you will get to them in time. But anger is the emotion we are most used to managing. The truth is that anger has no limits. It can be extended not only to your friends, to the doctors, to your family, yourself, to the person who caused it. Anger can just make its rounds. You can be angry at everybody. You can be even angry at God. You may ask, where is God in this? How could he let this happen to me? And underneath that anger is pain. Your pain, it is so natural to feel deserted and abandoned at this moment. But don't let that stay that way. Get it out so that that anger can eventually start to be used as a strength to pull you out of where you're at. Trust me, the anger is temporary. It is a temporary feeling that you will feel. At first, amputation feels like being lost at sea. No connection to anything. Then you get angry at someone. Suddenly, you have structure. Your anger towards them, the anger becomes a bridge over the open sea, and you find a connection from you to them. It is something to hold on to, and a connection made from the strength of anger feels better than nothing. We usually know more about suppressing anger than feeling it. Let me say that again. We usually know more about suppressing anger than feeling it. The anger is just another indication of how you are trying to process what has happened. It's normal. If you are a caregiver, a loved one, family member, spouse, sometimes the best thing to do at this moment is to just listen. As we talk about phase three next, phase three, the reckoning and depression. That's right. The Reckoning and Depression. What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back from this quick little break.
Hi, this is Charles Burleson. You are listening to Amp Life Talk Radio.
The Reckoning and Depression, phase three of my talk tonight. There is no bargaining stage for amputees. I don't know if you know that or not. But in the grieving process, there is a bargaining stage. But there is no bargaining stage for amputees. Bargaining is done before the loss. When something bad has happened, have you ever caught yourself making a deal with God? Please let me keep my foot. I'm going to be honest with you. When I got into my accident, and I remember coming out of the ER and having my foot all situated up, all bandaged up. And I remember they came in and they told me the good news, bad news scenario. And I just remember when everybody left at night, I would just sit there and just pray to God, please let me keep my foot. Just, I promise I will change the way I do things. I was making all kinds of promises to God to keep my foot because it was before the amputation. So recovering and part of the recovery phase for us, bargaining is actually not one of those. It is before, but once you're an amputee, it is not one of our phases. So that's why we don't talk about it in this. This is the bargaining. In a way, this stage is false hope. Probably not the best thing to do when you know that based on your doctors and what's going on with yourself, especially if you're diabetic or you're a vascular issue, you know that when it's time, it's time. You might falsely make yourself believe that you can avoid this situation, but we know deep down inside when it's time. It's never easy to be in that situation at all, but it does happen to all of us at some point in time as an amputee trying to deal with being told that we're going to lose a limb. Let's get back to the reckoning and depression, but I wanted to touch on that bargaining phase because it's in the grieving process, but as an amputee recovering, we don't really touch on that. You've already touched on that the day before, the night before your surgery. So, reckoning and depression. Depression, I am so sad. Why bother with anything? I'm going to die soon. So what's the point? Depression takes many different forms. Depression is commonly accepted as a form of grief. In fact, most people associate depression immediately with grief, as it is a present emotion. It represents the emotions we feel when we are leaving or living in the reality of what we're dealing with, the amputation, and realize the situation is gone. The limb is gone. It's game over. They've taken the foot off. It's a very finite moment. In this phase, you might withdraw from life. That numb feeling inside, the will to live, leaves us. We're not sure how we're going to deal with this new situation that we've been handed. We don't want to get out of bed. We don't want to see friends. We don't want to do therapy. You know what I mean. The world might seem too much and too overwhelming to face at this time when depression sets in. You really don't want to be around others. You don't feel like talking. and experience the feelings of hopelessness. Some might even get suicidal thoughts, thinking, what's the point of going on? Well, my friend, you've only lost a foot or a limb. There are people out there daily that are living full lives, missing more than one or just one limb. The reckoning is part of the depression process. We're reckoning with what has happened. During the reckoning phase, the amputee is coming to the terms of the extent of the loss. You're actually doing it as you're in the depression state. You are now being hit with the dump truck of bricks and realizing the limb is gone. It's not coming back. You're reckoning. You're dealing with it. You're trying your best to accept what is going to be your life after this. Understanding the implications of a new future, hopefully, you will start to minimize your losses in comparison to others. Well, I'm only a BK. That guy's an AK. These are all crucial phases to experience and go through. Very, very crucial phases to go through. I see people on the daily post comments about some of the things that they're going through when they talk about coming out of surgery, how it feels. I hear family members and I see family members writing how to be able to help someone who's experiencing limb loss and they're struggling with it. If you're a family member at this point in time, a caregiver, you can help your loved one accept their current situation and the new changes with life by encouraging them to get involved with rehabilitation. Rehabilitation means you're on your way to get a prosthetic, which means you're on your way to getting back to life. So when able to pull yourself out of these areas that we just talked about in this phase, depression, reckoning, we need to understand where we're at and keep in mind, these do not go in any type of order. Even for my talk, the phases can be all different at different times. You may not experience all of them. You may experience only one or two. So keep that in mind to try and see where you are at and where your loved one is at if you are a family member trying to help an amputee after an amputation. Phase four, reconciliation and acceptance. This phase here, some people actually have this phase right at the beginning, right after a surgery. I've met patients to where I've come in and I've sat down and introduced myself, told them who I am and why I'm there and what I do, and just asked, hey, is there anything you would like to know, you want to talk about? No, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm okay with this. And I'm kind of like, okay, all right. Well, a lot of times patients are at different places. They've processed things along the way and they're at different phases. So this phase here could be at the very beginning. I want to put that out there because we say phase four. Phase four could actually be the first phase that a patient is actually discussing with you and talking about at the very beginning, right after surgery. So you don't want to seem confused or look at the patient like, oh man, that's bad because he needs to do this or he needs to do that. No, he doesn't need to do this or that. Where he's at is where he's at. We need to help him deal with that right there because he may never go to the others. So during these phases, the reconciliation and acceptance. These two phases right here are probably one of the best phases to be as an amputee. The amputee begins to regain control, becomes aware of his or her situation and their uniqueness, to be more assertive, take control of his or her life, and manage their recovery process. Acceptance. It's good to be okay. That's what most of them will think when they accept it. It's good. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to fight this. I'm going to make this work. And that's good to see, because attitude and motivation is everything you're going to need to get you through the prosthetic end of it and the rehabilitation end of it. These phases here, individuals are more than likely embracing the mortality of the situation. They know that they don't know a lot about their future because they probably don't have a prosthetic yet, but they're looking forward to it. They're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. They're looking forward to experiencing that prosthetic. They're not scared of it. I meet some patients who are new amputees, and they're scared of the prosthetic. They are fearful of it. They think it's going to hurt them. So to be at this point, the acceptance phase, you're more willing to step off that porch and go back at life. Your emotions are probably in a more stable condition at this point. Your emotions may be just stabilizing instead of under control. You are probably at a point to where you're kind of like, I got this. Okay, I got it. I see it. Okay, I understand. You are ready to re-enter reality. You come to terms with the fact that the new reality, your new journey, your new life is going to be good. It's a good situation to be here at this point. Keep in mind, this point could come at any gesture in your after amputation surgery. But it is something to know that you can live with limb loss. You will need some adjustment and some readjusting. There will be good days, there will be bad days, but you will have to learn how to cope with those. It does not mean you'll never have another bad day if you're going along and, oh man, okay, I got this. Okay. We all have good and bad days. All of us, no matter where we're at on this journey, we're all going to have good and bad days. It is important for loved ones to understand the phases that we just talked about and to understand that they don't happen in an orderly fashion. They can be at any point when they come out of surgery at any one of these phases. It is also very important for the family members of an amputee to accept their new path and support them. I cannot stress how important that one sentence is. If you are a family member or a caregiver, it is important to show patience during the reconciliation phase and the acceptance phase, letting them do as much as they can so that it can help them gain confidence. Yes, it may take longer to get them in the car, to go to dinner, to go to the grocery store, but you've got to let them regain their independence by letting them do things. Don't always step in and take over. It's helping them come to grips with their new them, their new life, their new journey. When we come back, we're going to get into segment 3 and finish off the talk. Let's take a quick little break and we'll be right back. as we come back into segment three of the show, we're going to be talking about normalizing and thriving. What does that mean? Man, that sounds pretty cool. Normalizing and thriving means in the normalizing phase, the amputee will begin to balance his or her life, establishing their new routines, and once again, concentrating on the things that really matter, allowing priorities or others, the other things not to dominate his or her life. The negatives, they are now more focused on the positives. They are now becoming accustomed to being an amputee. It's now a normal part of their life. So as a caregiver and as a family member, if you find that they're in this phase, as you see them trying to do this, what can you do? Well, by maintaining a daily schedule of activities, that's going to help them. You help them focus on routine and restoring balance in both your lives, especially if you're a spouse. So once you see that they are normalizing, they're trying to balance their life, they're trying to establish a routine and get back to doing the normal things that they do in their life, you can help them with that. Phase six, which is our last phase, if I'm correct. Phase six is our last one, thriving. What does that mean, thriving? Most people are probably trying to figure out what does thriving have to do after recovering from an amputation? Well, what that means is thriving is being more than before. And what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. So I can only use myself as an example and some of the people that I know, such as Dave, the one-legged Spartan. I basically, after my amputation, I got back to life and I was living and I was doing things. I got back on my motorcycle. I got a job. I went to work. I went to the gym. I worked out. But I wanted to do a little bit more. But I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know if I could do it until I met Dave, the one-legged Spartan. And then I got into Spartan races. Just completed my first one, training for two more. Going to try and do a total of five next year. Thriving is becoming or being more than before. Before my amputation, I was just happy just getting up off the couch and going to the gym and riding my bike. Now, I've taken on a whole new aspect as far as training, outside running, jumping over 8 feet walls and flipping 400-pound tires and doing all kinds of stuff. And I love it. And I'm pushing the limits of me as an amputee, trusting myself and others while building my confidence. I try my best in what I do. This isn't for everyone, but in what I do, I try my best to be a role model to amputees to show them that you can live a full life. You can get back to living. So thriving means you're going to come back bigger and better and stronger. You can get up and you can do things that you never thought you could do before. I was talking to John, one of my physical therapists, and he was telling me about this guy who he's blind and he's climbing all these huge mountains. And I was like, that's crazy. But this guy has climbed some of the tallest mountains in the world, and he's blind. And along his way, he's snatching up all these people and having them go with him. He got a guy who didn't have any hands and legs, and he put towels on him, and they started climbing mountains. And he's got other amputees that he's getting them up and getting them out there thriving. That's what it's all about, is getting back up and thriving. At this phase, my friends, you are truly living your life now. As a caregiver or family member, what do you do at this point to help them? Well, just love them. Just love them. Encourage them. Help them. Interact with them. Share in their situations. Share in their experiences. This provides a positive outlook, not only for them, but for you. Doing things together that you never thought you would see him or her do. after their amputation. Keep in mind, caregiving can be very emotionally and intellectually challenging at times for both of you. So I ask that you find support, read up, and know how to help your amputee get their lives back and get them back up to a point to where they are thriving. As I move into the conclusion of the show, we're going to talk about some lessons to take away from this talk tonight. Well, lesson one, a little denial is natural. Remember that. A little denial is natural. Asserting that the denial is healthy may seem odd, given that psychologists have for long times considered denial inherently harmful. Denial is actually good. It's our limiter. It keeps us paced so we don't overwhelm ourselves. Okay? The next lesson that hopefully we will pull from the talk tonight, grief can shake our faith. So lesson two, grief can shake our faith. What does that mean? I know I didn't personally go through it, but let's say you are a person of faith and you have your faith in your religion. People often find themselves questioning, like, how could this have happened to such a good person? How could the world be so unfair? Well, one of the things that I learned from my experience is this. I truly am blessed at this point in my life with my amputation, because I would have never been where I'm at, doing the things that I'm doing, if I didn't lose a foot. So when you think about an amputation, don't let it shake your faith. Don't let it rattle you. Don't let it crumble your foundation if you are that person of faith. Hold strong to that, because there's always a reason for everything in this world that happens to us. We may not know the answer at the moment, but it will come to us at some point in time. It is also good to understand, it is important to remember that what has not changed. So when we go through an amputation, during this time of change, it is so important to remember what has not changed. I hope that makes sense for you, my friends. I really do. Because it is important to take comfort in what is stable and use that as your home base when you're going through the recovery phase of your amputation. Lesson three that we can take away from tonight, grief usually leads to acceptance. Grief usually leads to acceptance. Grief is a process that eventually will lead us to acceptance. Although most people never stop missing their departed limb, the painful emotions they shortly feel after the amputation almost certainly eventually softens. It can be comforting to keep in mind, if you only focus on the negative aspects of amputation or some other negative aspect, your prosthesis, body image, etc., your new life as an amputee will end up feeling worse. If you instead reassure yourself that this is my new normal, it will become easier once I understand how this works. Life can be very fulfilling, but different. But different is good. It is important, my friends, do not rush the grief process. Many grieving people fail at this because they feel they should move on and get over this quickly. No. Let the grieving process take its place and grieve. Grief is good, just as well as denial is good, and anger is good. it all comes together to help us bring ourselves back to a whole place, get us grounded. Grief isn't a race to finish. It isn't a contest. It's a natural process that we need to allow ourselves to go through after amputation. So, some symptoms of grief we should look for if we find someone going through it. Crying, difficulty sleeping, frustration, anxiety, abnormal behavior, fatigue, anger, loss of appetite, stress. These things are all cues for you as a caregiver or a loved one who is taking care of an amputee trying to recover from his amputation. I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to another show. Please like and share this episode and the show with your friends. I basically have started a community on my Facebook page. I would like to see some of you pop in there and start talking to each other. And every so often I chime in. So please do that on the Amp Life Talk Radio Facebook page. Please join and share your story. These stories and experiences help each other. You will find that you will help other amputees by sharing your experience or your story. You can also see posts on Instagram and Twitter because we have a page there on both. Don't forget to like us on iTunes and iHeartRadio, where you can listen to the podcast. Also, amplifetalkradio.com is where you can listen and read all the different things that I'm posting in the podcast area. And you can also see what we're up to. Hopefully soon we will be on Spotify. We just found our place on Google Play, and Spotify should be coming soon. See the live video feed on Facebook. Most of you are looking at me right now, but check that out on a daily when we have our show Wednesdays at 6 p.m. And my apologies again for missing yesterday on my birthday. But I will make sure that I have contingency plans in place and backups so that we don't have anything like that happen again. Remember Facebook, Amp Life Talk Radio. Until next time, you lovely, lovely people, I am so thankful for each and every one of you, and I am so, so happy and glad that you all take the time to listen to the podcast. And keep in mind, if you want to listen live, I am going to be getting our own Amp Life Talk Radio app for Spreaker.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Amp Life Talk Radio.
You are listening to Sean Harrison on Amp Life Talk Radio, a place for amputees and those dealing with limb loss. The views expressed on the show by the host, co-hosts, and guests are their own. Always seek medical advice from a licensed medical professional.
Embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi. So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.